Good morning. We're having some technical difficulties over there, but they are working them out good. Pray for Jacinda. She had a coworker who was exposed to COVID and tested positive. So that's why Jacinda's not with us, and Randy's up there running everything by himself and doing an amazing job. I think he might be Mr. Fantastic or have some secret arms up there that he's got going on. But we appreciate Randy doing all that. Quick announcement, if you see up here, we have this lovely family that we got off the internet and a bunch of chickens. So that's the Jones clan. If you notice in the foyer out here, there is Columbia Church of Signs for your yard. If you have not grabbed one and want one, please grab one. And we're also asking people, take a picture with your sign and post it on your page, post it on the church page, because it's another way to get the church's name out there. So see how many pictures we can get posted. If you want to borrow a chicken, I'm sure the kids would let you borrow a chicken or a duck. The ducks might feel left out. I'm not sure why they're... Sarah Bell, why do we have no ducks in this picture? We got the chickens. But they are out there and they are free. If you would like to make a donation, you can, but they are free to take. They're right here at the door. So please grab one of those on your way out if you have not. Also, two important things are happening on Tuesday. So men, if your ladies are coming to the ladies meeting and you're like, what am I going to do? I have nothing to do because my wife is at the ladies meeting. I need like three men to help me at the food pantry. So anybody that could jump on and help me at the food pantry, it's from 6 to 7:30. Tuesday evening down at the Methodist Church. So if you're available, just need three guys to help me out because the ladies will be up here at 7 to do the ladies meeting. So please check those things out. Also, this coming Saturday with the election, the COVID, all of this stuff just pushing us down and down and down, we need to laugh and we need to enjoy. So this Saturday, we're going to have movie night and we're going to watch Tim Hawkins, who's a Christian comedian, and we're just going to have a good old time laughing and sharing life together. So please come this coming Saturday at 6 to the family movie night. Let us open with prayer. Lord, we give you praise and glory for this morning. Thank you that we can come and we can worship you and just sing songs and sit at your feet and hear your word. And we just ask you to be with all those that are absent from us and just keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good to see everybody out there this morning. We're going to sing praises to our Lord this morning. As long as I walk, only walk close to thee. Kind of hard to lean on the everlasting arms if you're not close enough to the everlasting arms to lean on them.
Amen.
We need to draw near. We need to get close to Jesus and get wrapped in them everlasting arms. We come into your house this morning so thankful that we can be here and sing praises to your name, Lord. We need to lift you up on high, Lord. We need to put you on your throne and praise you, for you are God and you are in control, Lord. You love us unconditionally, although we sin and keep sinning, and you still have mercy and more mercy and more mercy. Lord, we need forgiveness. We need restoration. We need redemption. Our country, Lord, is in great turmoil. And I feel that I'm to much as blame as anybody else. Our generation has let you down, Lord. We've stripped the public places of your commandments. We've taken you out of our nation. Have mercy on us, Lord. Save us. Redeem us. Bring us back into your loving arms. Wrap your arms around us. Open people's eyes and let them see the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. Let us see the truth, Lord. We know you're in control, Lord. We know your day is near. We know you're coming, Lord. But there's so many people that need to hear the word and repent and rejoice in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you bless our nation, that you bless this church this morning, that you bless our minister, that you give us a message that we can put in our hearts, Lord, and that we can serve you. We thank you for, most of all, for your son and what he did and how he came to earth about the condition this one's in and told us the truth that we may someday be with him. Lord, again, we praise you and thank you for your blessings, for our family, for the protection you give us, and for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. I just want to take a few minutes to read a few verses and make a few comments to help us prepare our minds for partaking of the Lord's Supper. John chapter 14, I'd like to read verses 22 through 31. It says, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so do I. Arise and let us go from here. You know, I know this is one of the most challenging years that I've ever lived. I think probably all of us feel that way. Just an example, a few moments ago I was saying hello to Roger, and he reached out his hand to shake hands. And it's like, I can't do this, Roger. I love you too much. But those are the most awkward, difficult things. And this church was known for its love for each other and its hugging and sharing and talking. And we can't, that's been taken away from us. We can't do that here anymore like we used to. And someday, hopefully, we will again. I found it awkward to be able to talk with visitors. I want to shake hands and take my mask off, but I don't know what the right thing is to do. My grandchildren, I don't know if it's right to hug them, and they feel awkward in hugging their own grandchildren, I mean their own grandparents, and I'm sure you have those same situations. Some grandchildren are allowed to hug their grandparents and others aren't. It's just the most messed up situation there ever was. But I do know that Jesus died for us. We have the Holy Spirit to help us through this. When we read His Word and we can have peace. Every time I pick up the Bible and read, and I'm sure you feel the same way, that we have a peace from knowing God is there, and if we live with Him and keep His Word, that He will keep His Word, and that we will be saved and live and be with Him, and be at His home with Him. So let's keep those things in mind as we go through these difficult times, and let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine and the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this bread which represents Thy body, and the blood which represents the blood that was given upon the cross so that we might have the hope of salvation. And keep Him and His sacrifices in mind as we partake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Prayer and praise time this morning. I only have one. I'm sure there's everybody here probably has a prayer request this morning. This request is from Greg Vogel. It's for Mary and Heather Vogel, mother and daughter-in-law. They think they have the COVID virus, many condition the same. Heather has come down with the COVID, asking for prayer, rest of family, and quarantine. So. There seems to be a lot of that. It is a time of year for the viruses to run rampant, and there's a lot of that going on, and we need to ask that God protects us as a body and protects us from this virus. I guess the only praise this morning I have is God's in control. We can thank the Lord that He's got He's got our back. He's got the country's back. He's in control. We can't see what tomorrow's going to bring, but we know, if you read the Revelations, we know the Lord's coming soon, and this just might be another step toward prophecy fulfilled to get us there. I just hope and pray that there's so many lost souls that need to find Jesus before that day comes, but I think it's last night I was sitting in a tree and I'm thinking, what am I doing here sitting here in this tree? And I think, well, I'm just sitting here waiting for the Lord to come, because it's going to be soon. It's going to be soon. Another prayer request I guess I kind of have for myself is next week, if the weather allows, I'm going up north in the UP with my brother and sons and hunting. So, and going to exercise my Second Amendment right and pray all week while I'm hunting that I don't have to exercise it the way it was intended. So we'll be in prayer next week, and I'm going to miss you people next week. I'll be thinking about you all week. So, yes.
Keep the family, Clayton Stewart.
Yes, yes, Clayton Stewart. It went across a prayer chain. A young man who passed away from heart conditions. I believe he's 16 years old. That's something else, but we never know how many days the Lord has allotted for us. So let's take these requests in prayer, Lord. Lord, we ask a special protection and blessing on Greg's relation that in family, that they're all in quarantine. Some have the virus, Lord, that you heal their bodies and get them through it, Lord, without much pain or suffering, that they can speed through this and get well, Lord. And we pray that for the family who's lost this young man, Lord, that you can comfort them. I can't imagine losing a 16-year-old son. Be with them, Lord. And, pick them up and wrap them in your loving arms. Lord, I think that we need to pray and pray and pray as a nation, to pray without ceasing, that you will heal our land, Lord, and that we will repent of our evil, Lord, and come back to serve you as a nation, Lord. But we understand totally, Lord, if this is judgment or if this is part of your plan, Lord, because we don't know what your plans are, but we know that your plans for us are good, that your plans for us are to pick us up and lift us up and bless us. We know because your word tells us such. Lord, help us to hang on to you and remember your sacrifice. And we ask a blessing this morning on this church house and the many who couldn't be here this morning. And protect us all and fill us with your love and let us show your love to a lost nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Before we get started, I would just like to take a moment. Wednesday is Veterans Day. If there are any veterans in here, would you please stand up? These are the men and women that have given us our rights to be able to stand here and to do this. So thank you all. Will you all give them a hand? Thank you so much for your service and giving us this freedom to vote and to stand here this morning. So thank you. Thank you all. As you know, we've been walking through the Gospel of Mark. We took a side trip last week, but we're going to come back and we're walking through this gospel and we're looking as Jesus' servant. That was Mark's main goal. And as we've walked through this, we've looked at Jesus being a servant, but we've also looked at what it means to be a servant. If you remember last week, we served in prayer. Last week was the International Day of Praying for the Persecuted Church, and we took the service and we prayed for that service. And I hope you can have continued to pray and praying for the different missions that we support. Again, there's out on the foyer, there's a table with some reminders if you want to take them home to keep praying for these different people that are serving both here in the U.S. and overseas. We looked at Matthew 10 the week before, and we looked at the rich young ruler, and we asked the question, how do I inherit eternal life? And that's a question that we all tend to come to, and it's a question we all tend to ask. And we saw in this how we see Jesus, going back to chapter 9, how we see Jesus determines how we respond to him. How do I inherit eternal life? How do you see Jesus? Is he all? Is he the final answer? Or is there more? How do you see Jesus determines how we respond? Today we're going to look and we're going to prepare and see how do we answer the Master's call. When he calls, are we prepared to answer that? If you came in this morning, there was a little slip of piece of paper in your bulletin. If you would pull that out just for a minute, and hopefully you all had a chance to do it. There were two important questions that were written on that piece of paper, and there's only one correct answer to both questions. Only one answer. There's one correct answer to both questions. The first question was, how many M&Ms were in the jar? And the second question was, what is your favorite song? Are you ready for the answers? The first question, how many M&Ms are there? Would anybody like to guess? 350. Anybody else? 156. One more? Sarabelle? 128. How much? 1,000. That's a lot. That would be the M&M minis, not the M&Ms. There are 233 M&Ms in that jar. So the closest people, I COVID-friendly did. I dumped them all on a paper towel and counted them with a spoon. So I did not touch them. So you can share them or whatever you want to do with the M&Ms. They are yours for the taking. Now, remember, there's only one correct answer to each question. Will somebody tell me, what is your favorite song? Anybody? Sorry? In the Garden? Friend in Jesus? Victory in Jesus, sorry. Jesus loves me, I knew this day, one day. So who was right? What do you mean, everybody? I said there was only one correct answer to each question. Well, they're okay. You're going to go there, huh? You're going to go there. They're all about God. All right. But see, here's the thing. When you look at the number of M&Ms in that jar, there is an exact number, correct? You can all go and you can count them out yourselves, right? But when we came to the question of favorite song, it's a matter of taste. Although they're all about God, it's a matter of taste. So this morning we're going to explore the question, when you decide what to believe in terms of faith, is faith more like guessing the number of M&Ms? Or is it more like choosing your favorite song? Is faith a matter of fact, or is it a matter of opinion? Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory for who you are. We thank you that we can laugh together, that we can share life together, that we can worship together, that we can sit and hear your word together. We thank you for the men and women that have given us that right, Lord. The ones that are still with us and the ones that have gone before, Lord. We ask you to continue to bless each one. Continue to bless those that are in active service today. Keep them safe. Lord, as this service continues, Lord, let it be about you and let you be glorified in all things. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to look at a very interesting part in chapter 11. So if you would, open to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to see the authority of Christ. And we're going to ask the question, are you ready when you're called? So let's start with verse 12 here of chapter 11 of Mark. Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 12. On the following day, when he came from Bethany, he was hungry, Jesus, and seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. So we look at this and we come to this tree. We come to this situation. Jesus is hungry. How many of you are hungry? I'm hungry. I had cereal for breakfast. And again, it was sort of healthy cereal, but still. Me and my Pop-Tarts, you know how that goes. You need the good, healthy breakfast not to be hungry. I'm hungry. Jesus was hungry. So he comes and he's walking this path. And on this path, there's this tree. And here's the problem. Jesus is hungry. He goes to get him something to eat and there's no food. So what does he do? He curses the tree. That sounds unfair, doesn't it? Because it says that the season for figs had not yet come. That sounds unfair. How is that right when the time wasn't ready for a fig to be coming? And just because you reach for it, well, the time's not ready. Because a month and a half into summer is fig season in Israel. It begins late April and continues into August. So we sort of have a timeline here on Jesus too. But here's the catch. Here's the secret behind Jesus cursing this fig tree. What was this fig tree doing? You see, it says seeing in the distance. See, he's walking along and he sees this tree. And what does he notice about this tree? It was in leaf. This tree had leaves on it. And when a tree has leaves on it, it should have fruit on it. This fig tree appeared to be ready. It appeared to be, you need me, I'm right here for you. It drew attention to itself because from a distance, they saw the fig tree. I would encourage you to look up a fig tree. They are kind of weird looking. So Jesus sees this tree and it's ready. It's green. And I'm hungry. And Jesus reaches out and there was no figs on it. It goes to another story. You see, the fig tree's consequences for not being ready was being cursed. Matthew 25, 1 through 13 gives us another parable. You see, here in this parable, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish took their lamps and they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps as the bridegroom was delayed. They all became drowsy and slept. At midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come to meet him." Then all those who rose and trimmed their lamps, but the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will be not enough for us and for you, go to the dealers and buy some yourself." And while they were gone to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know not whether the hour be day or night." See, these 10 virgins, like the tree, looked ready. They had their lamps. They had their oil. They were ready. But when the time came, only half of them were really ready. And what happened to the ones that weren't? They got shut out. They got cursed. Are we ready? Because what does it require to be ready? What requires to be ready is in verse 22. See, we come back to this fig tree. And in 22, Jesus answers them, "Have faith in God." How are we ready for the Master's call? We have faith in God. Sarah Bell, will you go grab my helper, please? We have faith in God. You see, on Sunday night, we've been walking through the book of Acts. And Acts 4, we come to this question. Peter and John are brought up before the Sanhedrin. And they're questioned because they healed this man. And there is the fact. There is the proof that a good thing was happening. The Sanhedrin says, "Speak nothing of this. Speak no more of this Jesus." And they ask the question, and I ask the question here. Do we listen to man, or do we listen to God? Is it better to listen to what man says to us, or is it better to listen to what God says to us? And the quick answer, the church answer is, we listen to God. We always listen to God. But if we count the costs, do we still answer God? Do you still say, yes, Lord? Only if you have faith. If you have faith, you can say, God, every time. But if you have faith in man, we have to step back and we have to think about it. Because what is faith? It said, only have faith in God. Have faith in God. You see, Hebrews 11 tells us what faith is, and I liked the King James Version. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, that sounds like a contradiction. How can you have evidence not seen? The evidence is proof. Proof of things not seen. God says do, and you're like, I don't see. But I do see back here. I've seen what you've done. I've seen who you are. I've seen how your word comes true, so I will go forward. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. The ESV translates it into convictions. What are your convictions? You see, a conviction is something that you will not change your mind on. It's trust. Do we trust God's promises? Taryn offered to help me a minute. Would you come up here, please? We're gonna demonstrate faith for a second. We kind of scared him and said he was going to preach and dance and all. I want you to look at the wall. Scoot up a little more. Look at the wall. Don't turn around. Just look at the wall. Okay? Now, I'm not going to let you hit the ground, so I want you to fall back. Good job. Now, we're going to make this more fun. Stand on the stool.
Okay.
Look at the wall. Keep looking at the wall. No, don't be trying to do the peripheral vision thing. Look at the wall. You see the wall?
Yeah.
You trust me?
Yeah.
You do. Okay, I want you to keep staring at the wall. Now, I'm not going to let you hit the ground. I promise that I'm not going to let you hit the ground, okay? I want you to fall back. He's like, oh no, he's about to have a... Thank you. Not many people would do that. He actually trusted. Why did he trust when I walked around in front of him? His eyes got a little big when I'm standing here. But he's like, do I do this or not? I think he thought maybe because we're on film that I wouldn't let him hit the ground. But he trusted me even though I stood in front of him and told him the same thing. What did I not say to him? I never said I would catch him. I never said, fall back, I will catch you. I said, I won't let you hit the ground. And he fell back and I caught him. Came around and asked, told him the same thing. And he was scared to do it, but he was like, wait, I didn't hit the ground before. Hopefully I'm not going to hit the ground again. And down he went. That's what faith is. There was evidence. Taryn had evidence that I wouldn't let him hit the ground, even though I didn't say I would catch him. That was not part of the deal. We come to God a lot of times and we say, look, God, you said this is the way it's supposed to turn out. And God said, I never said that. Here's what I did say. I did say that I would keep you safe. I did say that I would get you home. I did say I would provide for your needs. I did say that you were forgiven. I did say that you were my own. I did say this, but I never said it would turn out this way. Take Abraham, for instance. You look at Abraham. Abraham had a promise. You're going to have a son. This son is going to be the seed. It's going to be a generation after generation after generation. Look at the stars. Look at the sand. See how many they are. Count them if you will. That's going to be your generation. That's going to be your heir, your promise from this one child that I'm going to give you. Again and again, God provided, but no child ever came. The child finally comes. And what does God say? Kill him. Kill him for me. Now, wait, how is this possible? Because you said the stars, the sand, this child, but if I kill him, how? But wait, God, you are faithful. Your promises can be trusted. I can rely on your word. And a lot of times we miss it, but if you read that account in the book of Genesis, it's amazing what Abraham says. Abraham gets to this mountain. God says, stop. You and the boy go up. He has servants with him, and he looks at the servants, and he says, me and the boy, we will be back. Stay. We will be back. How many people knew that Abraham was about to kill this boy? One, Abraham. But Abraham says, we will be back. Your word can be trusted. Your evidence. I don't see how this is going to turn out. But the evidence of your truth, the evidence of who you are, will be back. And he goes up that mountain. And he goes to sacrifice. And as we know the story, God provides. And who comes down the mountain? We come down the mountain. Two go up and two come down. What is the evidence in your life? What is the evidence in your life? We're in a time of chaos. We're in a time of spinning around. What is the evidence in your life to say that God, you are in control? Can you see how God works? What have you seen? What have you seen? What is the evidence to say God really did? Or the evidence to say that this is more than a coincidence? We come back to that song over and over again. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And you'll see what God has done. We need to count our blessings. Come back. Because that builds that faith. So when we come to a time that it is nothing but pitch black, we can take a step out and say, God, I'm trusting you. Because I know at the end of this journey called life, there's you. And me, and that's it. And I'm taking this step. And out you go. But there's a catch to it. There's a catch that we must not do. And see, that comes back to this fig tree. Jesus tells them that they have to believe. Believe. Have faith in God. Believe, but don't doubt. James 4, 2 and 3 says, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. We don't have because we don't ask. Situation comes up and we don't have because we don't ask. We're scared of the answer. But if we go back and look at the evidence of things not seen, we can find the answers. We can find the strength to move forward. James also says in chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. We must believe over and over again. What does Mark say? Jesus says it again and again. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. John in his gospel, believe and have life. We believe by having faith. Verses 20 and 21 of chapter 11 here in Mark. And they passed in the morning. They saw that the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered what he said. Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. You see, here's an object lesson. The fig tree had no faith. The fig tree showed that it was ready. It's, here, use me. I'm good. I'm all about it. But when it was tested, when Jesus reached out for that fruit, there was no fruit. It's not our season, but the Creator calls when it's not our season. Because He wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to trust in Him. You're not going to be ready when He calls. You're not going to be, let's go. It's not going to happen. He's going to call and we're just going to say, okay, let's go. And we're going to walk forward. How do we do this? We do it in prayer. We do it in prayer. We stay in constant prayer with the Father. We do it by faith, not a wish. You see, a wish is a desire or hope for something to happen. Belief is an acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe the words that are written in this book? Do you believe that you can look at this mountain and say, be thrown into the sea, and it will be thrown into the sea? He's asking us simply to trust. Don't look at the chaos. Don't look at the uncertainty. Just trust. Look at where we've been. Look at what I've said. You see, Hebrews 11 continues with a very long list of faith heroes, as we call them. They're there so that we can say, Lord, I don't know what this situation holds. And it's the simplest things, not always the big things, even the simplest things of, do I buy this house or not buy this house? Do I speak to this person or not speak to this person? To big things of what is going to happen in the next couple of days with this whole election thing. They have this long list of heroes that we can go back and we can say, they were in turmoil. But each one of them chose not to look at the circumstances, but chose to move forward. Abraham had a choice. Do I move or not move? I like it here. I have friends. I've got family. God said, go that way and stop when I tell you. Abraham moved. Do I build this house or do I not build this house? God told Noah, build this boat. Wait, there's no water. I'm in the middle of a desert. Build the boat. The government was in turmoil. What do I do? Daniel and his three friends hit their knees and said, we will serve God no matter what. Time and time again, every situation that we will ever face, whether personally, publicly, or as a nation, has already been covered. Let us look to the evidence. Let us put this thought in our head. You said it. You said it. You did it. And I will walk in it. You said it, God. You did it. You did what you'd say. And now I'm going to walk in it. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. So ask again, is faith a matter of fact? Or is it a matter of opinion? As a Christian, it's a matter of fact. Believe the gospel and walk in it. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory for who you are. Thank you for the evidence that you've laid out before us, evidence that we can look to when we look before us and we have no idea. It's foggy. It's unclear. We don't know which way to go. We don't know what to do, where to say yes, where to say no. But we want to trust you. Help us look to your word. Help us to get on our knees and pray. Let us not just look ready. Let us be ready in prayer. Be ready in faith. bring glory to you, to draw all those that we know to you, to be that shining city on a hill. Lord, we praise you. We give you glory, Lord. Help us to be the calm in the midst of this storm, Lord, because this is one crazy storm. It's a year of uncertainty, Lord, but it's a year of you. And we praise you for it. Lord, show your mercy, show your grace. We praise you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good sermon for what we're going through right now. A good question. Are you ready? If Jesus swoops you out of the parking lot, are you ready? If Jesus comes right now, are you ready? Do you know him? Are you covered by his blood? Most important question I guess anybody could ever ask of you. Are you ready to meet the Lord? I know there's been times in my life, and there've been recent times, that I don't think I was ready to meet the Lord. I don't. These times are making me more ready to meet the Lord. I think these times are good to build faith and to have a self-examination time of our lives. Are we on track? Are we 100%? Are we all in for God? He says, for every bit of your being, all your soul, your body, your mind, every part of you is supposed to put God in the lead. Are we doing that? And the next part, are we putting our neighbors in the lead? And that means our neighbors that have different views, our neighbors that are lost, our neighbors that are living in sin. Do we love them as we love our God? These are all questions we need to ask. And if we need Jesus, he's coming soon. Now is the time. Now is the time. Be ready. And be ready to accept his saving grace. I just thank God that he's a merciful God. I don't know why he wastes his time on me, but praise God that his mercy is greater than my sin. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning. If you need to know about that mercy, about the saving blood of Jesus Christ, please come forward. Please stand. thank you, Lord, and it is because of thy promise that we believe. We thank you, Lord, for this day, this church house, all our loved ones that are here today worshiping you, Lord. And we ask that you hold us tight and be close to us this coming week and these coming days, and help us to spend many hours this week on our knees, Lord, in prayer. Let us draw close to you, Lord, and you will come close to us. Lord, we ask a special blessing on this church and our outreach and all our missions and everything we support, Lord, that your kingdom will grow, Lord. It'll grow in this world and it'll grow in this locality, and that we can bring others to know your saving grace, Lord. Protect us this week. We thank you for your love. Be with us in our travels. We thank you for everything you've given to us, Lord. We are blessed beyond measure. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.